Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. Available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever you get your podcasts from, we are definitely there. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here on this, Wednesday. Training camp has started from the Pelicans, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. We need to clear up a little bit of things that, you know, people are kind of wanting to talk about and hoping for, and realize that though we'd like this team to kind of be finished, they've been practicing all together this offseason, this is a process. I'm going to bring you some clips from your favorite player, Anthony Davis, probably, and head coach Alvin Gentry to talk about that, what this offense is going to be like with Chris Finch, because I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on the importance that Chris Finch is going to have on the Pelicans right away. I think over the season, his role is going to be very important. What he's going to do is going to be very important in making sure this team gets into the playoffs and getting off to that kind of, you know, off to the streak everyone wants them to do, where they become a solid playoff team led by the Twin Towers in Davis and Cousins. But it sounds like that is definitely going to be a work in progress. I'm going to play those clips for you guys throughout this. I'm going to break it down for you a little bit. And then also, a guy I didn't really talk about yesterday after media day, because we didn't really get to speak with him a whole lot, is Darius Miller and the role that he's going to play. Because, you know, it sounds like, and from what I saw there, they let us into practice. You see them working out for about 10, 15 minutes, but you don't really get to see much. He's going to have a big role, even with Dante Cunningham coming back, even with, you know, the Pelicans playing a three-guard lineup. So we're going to break all that down and more for you in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So one of the most exciting things I think people were ready to see from this Pelicans team as we hit training camp and the start of preseason and the regular season was what the addition of Chris Finch was going to bring. And he was a bit of a focal point at times during media day the other day. And Gentry and Davis talked about him today. And I think it's something we actually need to pump the brakes on a little bit. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, when asked about the comparison to Nikola Jokic and what they ran in Denver, you know, wanted everyone to kind of back off from that, saying, one, he doesn't like comparing himself to other players, and that's fine. But I think what he meant to be is, you know, to come out and say is, don't look for us to run that exact offense that Denver did. You know, I'm a unique player. Davis is a unique player. This is a unique situation. And Chris Finch is going to put something in place that takes our talents the best and doesn't try and recreate what was going on directly in Denver as this kind of one-to-one comparison. That's what he didn't like. And I understand it, because the situations, while they're similar player in Davis and or in Cousins and Jokic, that's not what they're looking to recreate here, because you do have another big. So, you know, it was interesting to see. I would have figured they would have had a serious plan in place and everything, but it sounds like training camp's going to be more about kind of figuring some things in, figuring things out and putting things in a bit more piecemeal than what we were expecting. But the good news is, you know, this is still going to be kind of an amalgamation, and maybe it's not good news depending on how you view Gentry as a coach, of that Denver offense and Gentry style. We heard at media day the other day, they still want to play fast. That's still going to happen. They're not going to slow it down and kind of grind it out and play in the half court. They still want to run in transition. They still want to play with a higher pace. And even if Finch doesn't bring that offense directly over, you know, Denver was top 10 in pace last season. Their offense was the best after they put in Jokic as a full-time starter. They basically, you know, were outscoring the Golden State Warriors, at least defensively, weren't keeping up. But that's besides the point, neither here nor there. But they were, you know, very much a crazy scoring team, I think they're looking to bring in aspects of that without directly translating it. So let's jump to the clips to hear what, you know, Alvin Gentry has to say about this.
You know, I think adding Chris Finch to our coaching staff is going to mean an awful lot also, because I think he's dealt with situations where you've had two big guys that have been star players, and then how to take that and incorporate it into what we're trying to do from the standpoint of still playing an up-tempo basketball game. I think, you know, having him and just the way we visit and what we've talked about, I think he's going to be a really good addition to our team also.
Notice he talks about addition to the team and not handing the reins over or letting him take charge or anything like that. You know, I know a lot of people wanted this Finch offense, this Jokic-esque, Denver-esque offense, but really, it's just going to be a wrinkle, and it's more about adding a very smart, thoughtful guy to the coaching staff to try and figure out this very unique situation that the Pelicans find themselves in. I don't think this is going to be revolutionary. If they do kind of run a more of a Finch-esque offense, I've said it, I've gone on record on the podcast saying it, you know, I think you see it less than, you know, 30% of the time, might be less than 20. And I think it's just going to help this offense evolve, and you're bringing him in to kind of get a mind that knows how to work with a big, with a unique skill set. And Anthony Davis kind of echoes all of this, saying it's not going to be anything revolutionary. So let me play the clip for you from him at yesterday's practice.
You know, he wants our pace to be up, you know, different type of shots. A lot of trying to cut out the long twos. And so, you know, he told us a little bit today, but I think it just goes, you know, I think he adds more as the season goes on, you know, play some games and see where we need to improve.
You know, playing fast is still a very Gentry style of basketball, obviously, and trying to eliminate long twos is nothing, you know, revolutionary to anyone here. You'd rather take a three than a long two, and it's about maximizing efficiency. Shots at the rim, threes that are worth an extra point, and getting the best looks you can, not necessarily the ones that are the most open. And notice he didn't say we're looking to run kind of Cousins or I as point guards here and run that point Cousins offense we've all been excited about. It's little tweaks and just helping the team go about that, because he's an offensive, not maybe genius, but he's an offensive minded coach. There's nothing revolutionary really in what's been said. It's just he's another guy, and I think maybe at the time we got so blinded by Jokic and this Denver offense that maybe we overreacted a little bit to what Finch will be doing and the role he's going to be playing here in New Orleans. Certainly a smart guy, and it sounds like he's doing the right thing, but it doesn't sound like, you know, game one we're going to see this completely revolutionary offense. First, it's about eliminating long twos and then slowly integrating some different concepts. One of the biggest things with Chris Finch is that dribble handoff. You know, at the end of practice today, they were doing kind of a dribble handoff type drill with everyone running around and flying around. So it might be little actions like that rather than, again, this brand new system where Cousins gets the ball and people are darting around him and he's looking to pass and do different things. Might be just one action in a play here or there that kind of bring in these new slight wrinkles rather than just going with a completely different offense for extended stretches at a time here in New Orleans. And that's okay. You know, I'd like to see them know what they want to do, but you have so many new players, so many different pieces here, and guys like Davis and Cousins that you still haven't seen out on the court together that much. We got 17 games last year. We've seen them working out. I know they've worked out with Finch in Vegas as well, running through some different things, but I think he's still trying to wrap his head around, how do I make it work with these two specific bigs? There's Nurkic and Jokic in Denver. One eventually got traded because they were having some trouble trying to figure them out. But these guys are so dynamic and different from those two that it does kind of require coming up with something new and different. And you can't just take that Chris Finch system that we saw last year in Denver and just try and plug it right on into this New Orleans Pelicans team. So maybe we need to pump the brakes on that a little bit. Maybe we overestimated the impact that was going to have. But as we gear up towards that first preseason game, don't be surprised if you don't see some of that, because I don't think that's what the Pelicans are trying to do right now. So I mentioned it yesterday. I'm going to mention it again today because it is still such big news that Carmelo Anthony was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you all need to listen to the Locked On NBA channel. David Locke's got the scout on there, an anonymous NBA scout that pops on to provide insight that you can't get anywhere else, where you get an actual scout talking to you guys on whether or not this actually makes OKC a better team. Hoodie Mello, ISO Mello, all of that. There's a lot of questions, and this could impact the Pelicans' playoff seeding, playoff potential, anything like that. So make sure you've listened to Locked On NBA to get the most insight on everything league-wide, but particularly about the Carmelo Anthony trade.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. BOOM.
So back to the Pelicans, though, a guy who's kind of flown under the radar a little bit is Darius Miller. And, you know, when the Pelicans signed him, it was kind of surprising bringing him back after, you know, everyone's well aware that they just tried to hand him the starting small forward gig when he was with the team the first time and wasn't able to grasp it, went to Europe and was able to maybe rehab his career, had multiple NBA teams interested in his services, and now he's back with the Pelicans. And primed to kind of play potentially a big role because, you know, of the Solomon Hill injury. So this is certainly going to be an interesting thing, and we're not really sure what to make of it. And it's, you know, you don't really have a lot of faith in a guy who hasn't played in the NBA for 2 years. Despite all of the great production he had in Germany, you know, their three-point line shorter. It's not against NBA-level competition. And you can go through a myriad of reasons, and they're all valid. But some people who aren't really worried about that are the Pelicans, and there's a reason they gave him more than the minimum and more or less hard capped themselves to sign him, and that's because they really do believe in this guy. So listen to what Alvin Gentry has to say about Darius Miller.
Oh, yeah, I think there's been a bunch of guys that have done that. I had a guy in Phoenix named, everybody knows P.J. Tucker, and it was kind of a similar situation. He kind of bounced around a little bit in Toronto and stuff, and he went over to Europe and played and really became a real confident player. And I think Darius spending his time over there, I think he got a lot more confident than he did when he was here. And, you know, he became kind of a star player there and did a lot of things. And so coming back in the league now, I think he feels confident in himself and confident in his ability.
Confidence is a good word to use there because that really was what plagued Darius Miller in his time in the NBA before. He didn't seem really confident in his ability to shoot, his ability to pass, or really do anything. And that led to a lot of passiveness. Whenever he got the ball, he would kind of freeze, get rid of it, and not really just do much. And there's a reason he wasn't in the NBA for a period of time. And that's just kind of, you know, that. And it is what it is. So, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, maybe he's grown. And like I said, we don't really want to believe in a guy who's not played in the NBA for 2 years. But there are, you know, historical examples. Gentry mentioned one of guys who have been out of the league and come back in and played very well. We've even seen guys rehab their ability and play through the D League. And hopefully Darius Miller is going to be one of these success stories because the Pelicans really need him to be that, to provide depth on the wing, because otherwise you really have Dante Cunningham and that's it. And you need Dante Cunningham to play a lot of minutes at the backup four. And the Pelicans certainly think highly of Darius Miller. And while I don't have anything specifically talking about his role, you know, one, listen to what Davis has to say of him. And then I'm going to talk about where I think you're going to see Darius Miller playing this upcoming season.
Now he came back from Germany and he's definitely more aggressive. That's what we need from him, especially since Solo is out for a while. We need him to go out there and be aggressive to open up the floor. He can handle, he can shoot, he can pass, so we need him to be, you know, Darius, who was in Germany.
So Anthony Davis has been very impressed, obviously, as you can tell from that, with Darius Miller in, you know, their workouts this offseason in the one day they've had of training camp here. And they want him to be aggressive, and it sounds like he's found that aggressiveness, and he's not passive anymore, and that's going to work. That's not going to work great with the starters when you kind of need him to take a back seat, but that's where you want his shooting to come into play, where he shot above 40% from the European free throw line, shorter than the NBA free throw line. But certainly, you know, he can space the court and be passive there. But a place where he can be aggressive, which the Pelicans do need it, is going to be with the second unit. And when I was at practice the other day, that's who I saw him working with. The Pelicans were split up into three groups of five players kind of just working through offensive sets. Darius Miller was out there with Etuan Moore and Cheick Diallo, which kind of maybe gives you a little bit of insight into Diallo's future role with this team and how he's going to be used this year. But certainly, Etuan Moore is going to be one of the first guys off the bench because the Pelicans coaching staff trusts him very much so. And he's out there working with Darius Miller. So that's a pairing I think you're going to see, meaning Miller's probably going to come off the bench sooner rather than later for this Pelicans team. And if that also means Diallo's out there, maybe they're looking at him as the third big, potentially the fourth big. The third big's really got to be Dante Cunningham. You don't want it to be a Ginza or anyone else like that. Certainly it's got to be, or at least you hope, because Ginza was with that unit as well when they were working, and maybe they're split into things and it doesn't mean anything, but certainly, you know, I think pairing those three guys together is kind of insightful here and gives you a sneak peek into what the Pelicans are trying to do. But Diallo has so much potential, and we're going to talk about him further down the line as we get closer to it and maybe when we understand what his role is going to be a little bit more. But Diallo shows so much potential. You know, kind of media experts and people around the league, Chris Reichert, who I've mentioned on here, who was a guest on the podcast, is very high on him, thinks he can be a third big in the NBA. I don't know if the coaching staff trusts him, and we know the coaching staff really does want to trust players before they get him out onto the court and do different things like that. So I think, though, you're going to see Darius Miller clearly has this trust that they're talking about him like that, talking about, you know, what they want him to do, how he's kind of corrected his career. And for Davis to come out and say all of these things and show that aggressiveness, come onto the court, space the court for the bigs, and when they're off, try and take over a little bit and score different ways. Because, you know, Miller has a wide variety for his skill set. He's not just great at one thing. He can do a number of different things. The three-point shooting sounds like it's going to hopefully be there. But if you remember, he basically started at point guard for the then Hornets one time because of injuries and did decently well passing the ball. So you could see him maybe doing some point forward type of work on the wing with the second unit, depending on who's out there. If you run Etuan Moore, Ian Clark, and Darius Miller, you know, you don't really have a true pure point, and you can let some of that playmaking and creative ability fall on Miller's shoulders if you trust him that much, and it certainly sounds like the Pelicans do. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Plenty more to come throughout the week. Tonight, I will also be co-hosting double coverage on WWL Radio, 870 AM here in New Orleans. We're going to do a bit of an NBA preview show. We're going to dive into probably league-wide topics as well as talking about the Pelicans. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be on there with Seth Dunlap. I've co-hosted with him a couple of times before. Good friend here of Locked On Pelicans. Good personal friend of mine as well. So I'm excited. I'll tweet out the call lines and different things. This is a way you can get questions answered live, which is always a nice thing. So call in. We'll be interact. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it and provide you some more insight as we gear up for this Pelicans preseason opener on October 3rd. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.